This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Always great to have one of our civic leaders here, and public servants, we should say, as well. Eric Strucco is on the Albemarle County School Board, and we're glad to have him with us this afternoon to talk a little. Oh, there's a myriad of issues, but welcome, man. Good to have
thanks,
you
sir.
Here. Yeah, thanks for coming in, and boy, where do we begin? With you guys, you've come through it, just a tumultuous, painstaking budgeting process. You did it. Now, moving forward, there are some other challenges that are coming. So maybe we start there.
Okay.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges? I know to a certain degree they have to deal with the funding of one-time monies for things that you'd like to see sustained and working out some of the other issues that are correlated to that. But what do you see as the biggest challenges fiscally for the school board and for the school system, rather, coming up next year?
Well, I think it's to make sure that we have adequate funding for the type of schools that Albemarle County values.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now, after going through that budgeting process, personally, I'm one school board member that's skeptical that's going to happen, given what we experienced with the Board of Supervisors this year. Now, I know we're going through some tumultuous economic times. I mean, the recovery is volatile.
Mm-hmm.
We see some positive news, and then we see some negative news. And I think certainly for governments at every level, resources have been cut. And everybody felt like we needed to tighten our belts. We needed to search the operations of 26 schools with a couple thousand employees. We need to find certain efficiencies. And the school board really took that seriously this year. We looked at our operations. We identified transportation efficiencies that totaled close to $1 million. We really looked at the way we schedule our high schools, and we wanted to coordinate that scheduling and do it in a way that wasn't as resource intensive. We asked our teachers to take on more work, and we scaled back the number of teachers, and that saved us close to $1 million. And so we were really looking hard at operational efficiencies to minimize our resource consumption in very difficult economic times. And we did that thinking that the Board of Supervisors were going to basically hold true to their word, and that was, you know, they were going to support education. It was the number one priority of the local government, and they were going to keep the tax level on county citizens equal next year as they are this year. We were not engaging in efforts that would put pressure to increase taxes. We were thinking of a hold harmless tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
The real issue that we thought during the budget process was really going to hit our resources was the state government.
Mm-hmm.
We had a change in administration. Early indications were that there would be a significant reduction in public education funding coming out of Richmond. And we were forecasting a hit of close to $8 million less that Albemarle County was going to get. And so that's where we were really thinking that the resource levels would be depleted from the state. So, again, we made some very difficult decisions to increase class sizes, to even consider a furlough. But when the state started saying that they weren't going to cut as deeply as we thought, instead of cutting $8 million, they cut $2 million. They still
mm-hmm.
cut,
yeah.
But not as significantly. We thought, okay, good. We can maintain the school operations to a level that the county values. And what the county values are small-sized elementary schools, small-sized classrooms, teachers that are paid competitively, and the presence of technology in the classroom. That's what the county has expressed to me as a elected representative, and to, I think, all elected people, that's what they value in the schools. But as the budget process unfolded, the Board of Supervisors did something that surprised us, and that is they decided to cut taxes. They advertised the tax rate that would ultimately mean lower taxes for residents, and that cut the schools by $4 million. So we got a $2 million cut from the state and a $4 million cut from our own locality, and that hurt.
Yeah.
Some of the state monies that were restored, as you mentioned, were one-time monies only for 1 year. And we wanted to be good fiscal stewards. We wanted to be conservative in our budgeting and not make recurring operating expenses reliant on one-year monies. We were going to dedicate those one-year monies to capital projects. The supervisors were basically telling us that, no, use your one-year monies to fund recurring operating expenses. And then they accused us of not planning well. And that didn't sit well with me, a chief financial officer of a large organization. We were planning extremely prudently. We weren't going to use those one-time monies for recurring operating expenses. And so we have to now. So there are principal salaries and some early intervention social work salaries that are reliant on one-year money right for next year. And there's no guarantee that those monies are going to be available in subsequent years. And so we feel like we've been pushed back into a corner, or I do. I'll speak for myself. The school board in Albemarle County is going away on a retreat, an all-day retreat in a week or two, and that's when the group of us as colleagues will discuss how we feel as a collective. But this particular school board member, myself speaking, I feel like we've been backed into a corner. I feel almost like the Board of Supervisors has engaged in an assault on public education. That was the quote in the paper. And I did say it because it, as you've been battered from multiple directions, you feel like you're under assault. And I think that it's time now, this early, for next year's budgeting process to lay the issues out. I'm hoping that the Board of Supervisors, you know, fulfills the commitment that they made to the community, that they are going to support public education, that they will consider restoring some of the resources that we need to operate the schools in the way that Albemarle County residents have asked us to. And again, these are small elementary schools of students less than 300 in some cases. These are small classrooms, class sizes, so the students get that intimate educational experience with competitively paid teachers, so we recruit and retain the best, and that the school classrooms are equipped with the technologies needed for our students to compete for jobs in the 21st century and college and university admissions. However, if the funding patterns continue into the budget process, then the school board is in a tight spot. The Board of Supervisors would be forcing the school board to pick which value we think is more important. I think that small class sizes, competitively paid teachers, and technology in the classroom are the most important things. If anything is going to give, it'll have to be operating the small elementary schools. I don't want to do that, but I want to make sure, communicate clearly to the members of the Board of Supervisors that this is the situation that they're potentially putting us in, and that if they don't fund schools adequately, one of these values will have to go. And it may very well mean that we have to close or consolidate some of the small elementary schools. Jay, I've already gotten constituent reactions to this that press story in the paper. I actually got a call last night from a realtor saying that they have a family that wants to move into one of the small elementary schools districts, and the family wants to know what's the future of this school. And I'll direct that realtor to say, your call to me was good, but it's a little off center. You really need to call the members of the Board of Supervisors and ask them whether or not that small elementary school would withstand this financial pinch.
All right. Eric Strucco is with us. I can tell you've been thinking about that a lot from the Albemarle County School Board. Our phone number is 977-1070. Before we go to break, we'll take one here, Eric, and then we'll take a break and get to some more. Martha's been waiting very patiently in Charlottesville, or Albemarle County, I should say, and I appreciate her patience. Hey, Martha, thanks for joining our program. You're on with Eric Strucco.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Eric, I really appreciate you being a strong advocate and firm advocate for public education. I think it's the most important dollar we spend as taxpayers when we contribute to strong school systems. I have to differ with you a little bit. I know that you have younger children. I've had three children that have gone all the way through, you know, high school. And I remember when my children were young that we thought a small class size was the sacred cow. And I do believe that there's a lot of research that explains that class size isn't as big an issue as you might think it is, because you're at the elementary level. I can promise you that there were a lot of oversized classes at the high school level that were still excellent classes. And I think we've done a huge disservice to our high school education when we went to this 4x4 schedule. You're going to have kids taking 3 classes a day in a study hall, and it's a lot of wasted time to have these 90-minute classes and a push for that. And this is something that very poor school systems do, like in South Carolina. They've been doing it for 11 years. I have a teaching degree, and I feel really firmly that we've done a big mistake with the high schools, and I do hope you plan to watch it very carefully and consider changing it back and looking for savings somewhere else, even in technology, before we go forward very many years with this 4x4 schedule.
Martha, it's a very insightful call. In the interest of time, I want to let Eric answer that when we come back, but I want to thank you for your phone call, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Martha. Eric, we'll get to that in just a minute. We'll also get to Richard in Charlottesville. As typically happens when I'm in for Coy, we're running late. 4:49, and we'll be right back. Eric Strucco is our guest. He, of course, serves on the Albemarle County School Board. We thank him for his service and making himself available today at 977-1070 as well to your phone calls. And before we get to Richard, let's give you a chance to respond to Martha, who basically was asking about class sizes and some of the other initiatives for by-four scheduling and things of the sort.
Yeah, I know Martha. She's one of our more well-informed members of the public. And as she said, she was a parent of children that went through the school, so she certainly knows a lot through experience. And I can agree. I mean, I think we should look at class size or technology or even school size, which one is more important than the other. And I think that's the work that the school board needs to at least initiate during that retreat I mentioned earlier and make a value determination and a judgment. But I think we need to communicate very early on to the Board of Supervisors and the public, our pecking order, our ranking system, which ones do we really want to work to retain and which ones do we think we can sacrifice if the funding doesn't come to us. And so, yeah, Martha, I'm more than willing to look at information to determine what the value of class size is. Regarding the 4x4 block schedule, that was certainly one of the more controversial decisions that the school board made this year. It normally we would have taken more time to really communicate the justifications and hear more parent feedback, but I truly believe that the budget crisis really forced our hand early, and we had to make a judgment call. We've modified the 4x4 block scheduling, and for those that don't know, the 4x4 is a traditional semester look. So if you've been through a college or university and had semesters, that's what the 4x4 is. The real concern is that there won't be a continuity of exposure to certain subject matter. There may be too big of a gap or break between math courses, say. If you take a math course in a fall semester and then you don't take another one until the next fall, you go a good part of a year without any exposure to math, and the continuity of learning that subject becomes broken. And so we tried to modify the schedule to account for that, math and foreign languages. But we certainly will carefully watch that. That generated $1 million in savings and operations. And again, if we have the funding, I think the school board will be at liberty to review and see, what scheduling system would work best.
All right. Eric Strucco is with us. He is on the Albemarle County School Board. Richard's been waiting patiently. He's in Charlottesville. Hey, Richard, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having a good show. My question is largely based in ignorance. I hear these cuts to the classroom budgets, increasing of the classroom sizes, better compensation for teachers, and nobody seems to talk about parental entertainment. I think that some of the sports programs have gotten overblown to where they're parental entertainment. And I wonder what part of the school budget goes into the sports programs. Not that we shouldn't have sports programs, they just seem to be a bit overblown into the entertainment arena.
The sports programs were actually subject to the budget acts this year. We actually had to cut back on junior varsity sports at two of our high schools. We felt that the schedule was not substantial enough to warrant the financial support. Plus, we're charging now an activity fee on all families of children that are participating in the sports. They will have to pay a fee to participate. And those dollars go into the general fund, but in theory they go to offset some of the costs that the schools experience because of athletics, and that would be, for equipment and maintenance of facilities.
Oh, maintenance must be very high. But what percentage of the budget goes into the sports program? I mean, is it 10%, 20%, 5%?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sorry, I just don't know that number, that specific number off the top of my head. That's certainly something that, we can get back to you on. But it's not as significant. I think the vast majority of the costs that the schools experience are for teachers' compensation. And those are costs that are directly involved in the classroom.
Well, I thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. All right, let's go to Dave is on line one here in our last couple of moments at 4:57 with Eric Strucko. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Richard. All right, let's go to...
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead, my friend.
Turn your radio down. Hey, I was just wondering about PE, and I know PE teachers are probably going to hate me for even suggesting it, but I know there's a lot of kids in the community that participate in sports after school virtually every day through soccer, through swimming, through baseball, football. Would there be any savings in letting those kids out of the regular PE program? And would that generate any savings? I know it would certainly generate time for those kids to get some studying done. I don't know if anybody's ever thrown that out there, and I'm going to take my answer off so I can listen on the radio.
You go. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
That's Dave on line one. What do you think?
Well, I think Dave brings up yet another issue that we wrestled with during this past budgeting process. We had to make a determination about what instructors are more important, certainly those that are in the classroom. But, when you talk about support staff like guidance counselors, and I consider PE teachers. They are usually the first place you look. What coursework do you scale back first in a tight budget time? And PE time is certainly one of them. Yeah, I do know that a lot of children participate in out-of-school sports, and that is something that we can look at. Perhaps give them an exemption, and then we can scare back on the need for PE support.
Eric Strucko serves on the Alamo County School Board. Thank you for your time today, sir.
Jay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to probably have to do an hour next time.
That's right.
We'll archive this at WINA.com here with our podcast, all right? And sorry we couldn't get to you, David. We got to move to the next thing, but we'll do it again sometime. Eric, thanks for your service. Thanks for being
Jay,
with
thank
us.
Thank you.
All right.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.